Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight. What an amazing day. What a spectacular day. Lots of news to talk about. And Tucker Carlson, in 2 hours from now, is about to go straight with competing with his former employer. In 2 hours from now, the debate of the first debate of the Republicans start. And 5 minutes before, Tucker has announced that he would publish on Twitter his interview of President Trump, who refuses to go to the debate. Trump has stated that people know him, people know what to expect from him, and they know what a great president he can be. And so he doesn't have an interest in going to the first debate. Perhaps he will go to future ones. But it's a spectacular collision between the worlds, and it plays on the media versus cable TV and the fact that Trump has a different strategy. He doesn't want to go for the mainstream attention that Fox News could still give him among his older voting base. He's trying something new with a higher viewership, but I don't know if he's going to be reaching through Twitter the old people who would bring him into power. If you're a Republican, you need old people. That is all there. That is your big base. You cannot give up the old people, and some of them are still stuck on cable TV. So what do you do? Well, Trump is deciding to leave them behind in a bold decision, and we'll see what it leads to in 2 hours from now. Because you have to keep in mind, even if he was to make hundreds of millions of views on Twitter, those are not all American. They are not Americans. They are global. So within America, you will reach a smaller number. Some of them won't watch, so the number goes high, but it's questionable to what extent they engage with the content. So it's a risky move that Trump is doing. I think that he's probably thinking this is too early. Sorry, I coughed in the mic. I thought that my mute button was on. I do have to make a script that will systematically turn on the mute button, because here I got surprised with a shut-off mute button. Sorry about this. So a bold strategy, but I think that he intends to go on the later debates, and perhaps it's so early that right now the only people who can accumulate something to gain from these debates are probably the lesser known candidates, which we will do a review. There will be 8 of them. I will review their lives and what I expect from them. Some of them I don't know much about. Shrig Mamel sends a super chat. He says, JF, I'm debating on signing up as a Democrat to vote for RFK Jr. At least RFK Jr. is pro-medical freedom, skeptical of the vaccine, and is anti-imperialist. Look, the only function that this could have is to send a signal to democracy, but no one is listening. So it's like, if you want to lose your time to do it, go ahead. But I'm telling you right away, it's not going to change the world. You're going to make a statement. Do you want to make that statement? Is it worth for you the effort of registering as a Democrat for this? If it's not a super bureaucracy, sure, go ahead. But that's all you're going to do. You're going to be sending a signal in the void. You're not going to change the Democrat Party. They will not receive your signal. Speaker's Corner says, yeah, but he still wants your son to suck dick, lol. Does he? Maybe. Someone published this thing. It's freaking hilarious on Discord. I don't know where it comes from. Some old cops show. And it is so hilarious. Do I have double screen sharing? Oh yeah, I'm sharing the wrong screen. Let's see if I share the right screen there. All right. And that was because of my gaming adjustments that I had done, I'm supposing. And then I'm going to add a filter. Top. All right. That should work. This is fucking hilarious.
Dollar bill. I gave her a $20 bill.
For what?
For anything. I don't care. Whatever it's for, but she can give me my money back if she ain't gonna do nothing with it.
Okay, were you planning to buy some drugs or something?
Yes, I was.
What kind of drugs were you wanting to buy?
Rock.
Rock?
Yes, I was.
You gave her $20
back. I gave her $20. She gave me some plaster.
And now you want your $20 back?
Yes, I do.
Because she didn't supply you with crack cocaine.
Well, if she shouldn't give me nothing, no plaster, nothing, she should have said no.
What's going on?
She come around here a while ago. It used to be some people that right over there that used to sell.
Yeah.
We were sitting out here on the porch in some chairs. So she said, y'all have anything to buy? I said, no, baby, we don't have nothing to sell. So she left and went around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Then she come back 10 minutes later, holler, give me my money back. I said, no, you ain't bought nothing from here. Don't disrespect my child. This is my child.
Mm-hmm.
I don't sell crack. I'm a prostitute.
I don't sell crack. I'm a prostitute. The way she says it in such a dignified way, it's like,
dollar bill.
Don't you call me a crack. Don't you call me a crack person. I'm a prostitute, for Christ's sake.
Don't disrespect my child. This is my child.
Mm-hmm.
I don't sell crack. I'm a prostitute.
I don't sell crack, I'm a prostitute. Oh my God. There are people who live in a totally different universe than I. Elon Musk has been shooting some arrows in the direction of Facebook. Facebook is manipulating the public almost everywhere on Earth. That is why they want to open source their algorithm. So Elon, having the experience of having looked under the machine, having looked under the gears of Twitter, he now knows what these companies are about. And he was commenting on Michael Schellenberger saying, Mark Zuckerberg says that Facebook, as independent fact checkers, is open to all perspectives and doesn't interfere in elections. But a new investigation found Facebook is funding activists demanding censorship of their enemies during a national referendum. Of course they are. And that was Twitter also before Elon Musk. There's an entire censorship industrial complex that has been born from these leftist big tech corporations, and they are always after us. They are always into silencing anyone to leave place to the CNNs and Fox News of this world. We have a Gonzalo Lira update. This guy was confirming basically what we expected has happened, which is that when he tried to cross the border on Hungary, he was detained. Failed to appear the next day. He appeared in front of court 2 days later when it was decided to re-detain him. A hearing in his initial case is scheduled for the 22nd, so that was yesterday. So Gonzalo Lira, our friend Coach Red Pill, back into the hands of the enemy of Ukraine, of the Ukrainians. Thankfully, he's alive, but I think that he's going to be paying the price for all of this, and it's not looking good. I think he's going to be in work camps or prison for at least as long as Zelensky is there, and perhaps more than this. Trollwaffen, you come in with some attacks on a certain people out of nowhere. It's unrelated to the current show. I am for a critical view. And if you have a critique to make of a community, that is fine. But it's kind of, you look like a bot who's there to put me in trouble. When you come out of nowhere and you attack a people that has nothing to do with what I'm talking about, so I'll be banning you. Just because, yeah, it's kind of, like, imagine you were to come in my lounge and you start, Jeff, here's what they've done. And it's like, whoa, bro, just say hi first, engage with me, just and you know, if you have a theory about certain people plotting fires, you know, I'm open, but you need to be respectful. UK's $18 trillion slavery debt, well, £18 trillion or whatever, slavery debt is an underestimation, a UN judge says. Okay, so when you get into these discussions of reparations, you're on the hook for any amount they will want to take from you. That's why you never want to engage in a discussion about reparations as a state, a country, or whatever organization. Because, okay, well, how about we give you $18 trillion? Well, that's an underestimation because this and that. There is no proper amount for human life, human liberty, that kind of thing. And so once you have admitted that you have violated a fundamental thing that relates to the right of people to exist and their liberty, you are in for infinite payment. Because there will always be someone saying, oh, well, you haven't considered the mental distress. And now you say, okay, considering the mental distress, I'm fixing it at $18 trillion. And now they could say, well, you haven't considered the mental distress resulting from the mental distress. It's an infinite flow of demands that you've opened yourself to. And you started this discussion with an admission that there was something wrong to begin with. That is why you never want to grant a discussion on reparations, unless you're a professional debater like me. Can I assign people as moderators? I think I can. Here, Shrigmamel, I'm naming you moderator. I know we have a couple of other moderators, but I don't know to what extent they are still active. So yeah, don't abuse your right. Don't use it to kick people who are honestly engaging, but when a spammer comes in and has these big theories and he's just copy-pasting his big theories, you can ban them. Secure the Future says, Jeff, I missed your AMA, but I do have a question. Do you think white intellectuals are A, cowards, B, idiot normies, C, traitors who know the truth, or D, people who have been provided false information and act accordingly? My God, this is an interesting question. But I don't think that the fact of dividing my options in four separate categories is the right thing to do here. Because I think that white intellectuals are, first, free white intellectual. This is the distinction. There are not many thinkers out there who have taken the means to be free. I'm one of the only ones, one of the very rare people who can say, one, that he makes a living from his intellectual contribution, and two, that is totally free. Totally, totally free. There is nothing that binds me. I'm not bound to contracts. My income doesn't depend on what someone above me will decide. I am truly free. And when you're truly free, you can look and say, oh, they're cowards, they're idiot normies. But what they are, first and foremost, they're all of the things that you've listed, but they're all of the things that you listed because they have to. So they are in mechanisms of self-deception that they were driven into by incentive structures. And the incentive structures are as follows. If you're talking about the academics, they have to propose projects. That's how they started being successful as academics. They propose projects to the government or to some organizations that are funding. And the organizations are coming back and say, yes, this is a good project. I'm funding your lab. Or if you're a philosopher, you have to, you won't get funding of that kind, like from the government, but you have to find IDs that will be taken by people in your field and published in a popular journal. So it's always about pleasing others. And these people have started from being young people thrown in a PhD program to, all right, well, that is how I make a living. Okay, so I have to find the next thing that the government wants. I have to find the next thing that the editor will accept to publish in my field. I have to satisfy those undergrad students that are upcoming. And if I don't say something about racism is bad and et cetera, they give me a bad grade. They evaluate me as a bad teacher to the university and I lose my job. So the whole system is designed to enslave the thinker. So you say, are they traitors who know the truth? They can't even get to the truth. Because imagine yourself, you're in a rat stuck in that maze that the academia is. There's the government, there's the students, there's your boss, and there's the university. All of them pushing you in a direction. You have zero choice. It has nothing to do with yourself against nature and finding reality or finding the truth or making an amazing contribution. It's all right, I'm bound by my students. I have to act in a woke way. If I don't, just in case I'm not personally driven to do it, they will force me to do it or I'll get fired. I'm driven by the government to be looking for projects that are normie safe and that the normies will approve of and that the government scientists will approve of. And then I'm bound by my university to be not making too much noise, not attracting controversy. And I know exactly the kind of controversies that would lead to a review of my case. Anything about race, anything about, you know, the drill, you know? So the answer to your question is they are cowards. They are idiot normies. They are traitors who know the truth. They are people who have been provided false information. But they are all of this almost without having chosen it. They've been driven to be this, and the system will select nothing else. Yes, I'm getting to the Prigozhin story because that's an amazing story. Prigozhin has died in a spectacular explosion north of Moscow in a jet. And people are speculating, is that a terrorist action from the Ukraine side? Just causing issues, or is it Putin who acted friendly toward Prigozhin, didn't want to create too much noise back in the days when Prigozhin had made his little revolution, but Putin never forgets, Putin never forgives, kept it in his mind, and blew the jet that Prigozhin was in? Well, I think that is a very possible hypothesis. I'll get to it, but I just wanted to go through the smaller news, and this is an important one. U.S. government arrests Tornado Cash developer Roman Storm and Roman Semenov. Very important news in the crypto world, because you have people who develop things, you know. And Tornado Cash had been developed in a way as to kind of be this automated tumbling machine that were crypto mixers. So the goal of a crypto mixer being, if you send money in, along with other people who send a lot of money in, the tumbler then sends it to other wallets, and you can't trace who sent to who. The goal of this development is nothing else than money laundering, basically. But if you think at it from the bits perspective, that it's just a bunch of bits, really. It's a bunch of bits being obfuscated through mixing. So it seems that the U.S. government has decided to take the interpretation that it is not just bits. It is. It represents money, and therefore, when you design a program to do this, you design a program for money laundering. And even if you don't do money laundering with it yourself, you are responsible for having contributed to it. Those are fine legal questions that may be worked out, but generally when the U.S. government goes after someone like this, I'm thinking of the Silk Road website. Same thing happened where a guy says, I just developed a platform. Well, you developed a platform, but it was used by criminals, and Tornado Cash could be used by criminals, and the government goes after you. So here, the outcome for these guys is that they have been arrested. Dustin Diamond says, Bitcoin is the perfect money for AI to use. It can use fractions and pay gig contractors to get results, all from results-based tasks. Yes, Bitcoin is good money, generally, whether you're an AI or a human being. Jordan Peterson, although he's saying on his Twitter account that this is a dishonest titling, Jordan Peterson loses court battle over degrading and unprofessional tweets. So basically, Jordan Peterson had made comments on his Twitter. Some of them were talking about fat woman, I believe, and some of them were talking. We had reviewed them in the back in the days when it had happened. So there were really small comments of the kind that I would do on an everyday basis. But the College of Psychology in Ontario went after him because they can hold him to a professional standard that they can't hold me to. And that is why you should never be part of an order if you are a public speaker. And it goes back to something I said earlier about taking the means to be free. Taking the means to be free means not being dependent on the normie system of money, so Bitcoin, crypto, not being dependent on the government for anything, not being dependent on professional orders also. Taking the means to be free is hard. It is a lot of sacrifices that you need to do. And here Jordan Peterson ends up losing a court battle. Basically, he was arguing, I have freedom of expression. Here I have a professional order who's attacking what I said. Can't I say these things on my Twitter while being a valid psychologist? And the point of the College of Psychologists of Ontario is to say, well, you are fundamentally at odds with the recommendations with the requirements to be a good psychologist. Because according to their definition, of course, you have to be fat inclusive, you have to be LGBT inclusive. And so basically, making these negative comments about these people or these communities puts you at odds with the function of being a proper psychologist by their standard. And so you can see why I can't argue with this. You know, fundamentally, an order has the choice to decide what their standards are. The person in error here is the one soliciting a place within that order. Let's say I create a team, Team JF. And I say, I will accept in Team JF only the people on the regular chat who have clicked on the fire button on the video. John Drake, you are rejected from Team JF because I don't think you've clicked on fire yet. I'll see if I welcome you on Team JF, but I'll wait for the fire number to go up to 19, 20, 21. You know, if I was to say this, you can't force me to be on Team JF. You can't force me to... And Trevor Canning says, I just clicked it. Okay, Trevor, you're in. You're in Club JF. You cannot impose that I have to have different standards for Team JF. Those are my standards. And if the College of Psychology of Ontario is deciding that this is their standard, I don't take issue with. What I take issue with, of course, is that they are the gatekeepers of a working environment. Basically, you cannot be a psychologist if you are not part of the College of Ontario. This should be out of the way. This should be removed by law. You cannot be a monopoly for an occupation. Now, unfortunately, the modern world does have these unjust laws, but that's a separate question from the question at play here, which is the question at play currently. If you don't challenge the existence of professional orders, which I do, but the question at play right here is, does a professional order, are they forced to accept you if you violate some of their standards by their own evaluation? The answer that the court gave is no. And I have to agree, like, it is your freedom of speech to say all these things on Twitter, but it is their freedom to reject you from their order. That is how I see it, just like I could reject you from Team JF. So the lesson in general is, if you want to give yourself the power to speak freely, you have to take the means to be fully independent. And I don't think Jordan Peterson ever took those means. I think he's always been attached to the normie system's approval unto him. Well, it comes to bite him in the ass today. So, spectacular events north of Moscow. Prigozhin was in a plane. He was in a plane with 10 other people, presumably people well-placed on the Moscow side in the military or government. And all of these people transported in jets have died. There was a plane crash. I have images of the plane crash here. This is the Prigozhin. Oh, well, they load it again.
Взорвалось, падает. Ты посмотри, падает. Два раза взорвалось, падает. Ты посмотри.
A jet just falling like this without any attempt of the pilot to be kind of taking back control of it. I'll tell you what, this looks very much like an explosion. Like it was targeted by a missile or something.
Ты падает.
It's not like a progressive loss of control. Something blew here. All right, so accidents happen, say a real base talk. Yeah, say that with a Russian accent now. Accident happen. Yeah, an accident has happened. Definitely. It seems that Prigozhin, who had started a revolution against Russia, he had done a little coup with his Wagner group back in the days, and Putin had shown himself to be extremely reasonable against him, you know, not trying to make him pay or anything, and taking in his commentary, but his negative comments and wanting to fix things. But sometimes someone like Putin likes to first display a very amicable response and then use the kill shot when you least expect it. And people on the Wagner Group Telegram, they said it was shut down, so they are already speculating that this is basically Putin ordered to kill the plane which contained Prigozhin. It could very well be a backlash for the revolution that Prigozhin tried to do back in those days. Or it could be a missile that came from the Ukrainian side, helped with American intelligence. It's possible, but we have seen that kind of attack from the Ukrainian side, and we had seen that Moscow was very well equipped to respond to them, and we're intercepting those missiles. If it is a Ukrainian attack, clearly here, the missile has not been intercepted. Speaker's Corner says, JF, here's a photo recovered from the wreckage of the plane crash. Okay, I hadn't gotten it to do the research to find a photo. Oh, okay, we have a photo from inside the plane as the missile was headed toward the plane. Aristophanes has posted a picture here. You can see that it would seem from the direction of the missile that it's coming from Moscow. Based on this early evidence, it's very blurry, but based on this early evidence, one could think that this is a direct attack against Prigozhin from Putin. Well, too bad, he's dead now. I mean, it was very misplaced, this whole I'm gonna go after the Russian bureaucracy and the military bureaucracy. That was very bizarre behavior. It's so fascinating to think that this guy, Prigozhin, has been through Syria, has been in all these theaters of war up to Ukraine, has been at the meat grinder of Bakhmut, and that he ends up dead because he took a jet within Russia. Isn't that fascinating? That's a perfect illustration to me that your worst enemies are among what you think are your friends. The people who are the closest to you are the most dangerous. And Prigozhin has hopefully learned that at the last moment of his life. Blinken repeats, Crimea is Ukraine as Kiev steps up attacks on peninsula. Well, this looks like another attempt of the government of the US alongside the Ukraine to develop a whole narrative that there is hope for further strikes and further counteroffensive. The timing of Blinken's statement is interesting, as amid general stepped up Ukrainian attacks deep inside Russian territory, including nearly a straight week of drone strikes on Moscow. What we've seen from the Ukraine side is they always do these big publicity events. They try to drag attention, and suddenly you have people like Richard Spencer. Maybe next week he's going to think, oh, the Ukrainians are about to get Crimea. We've been sending more waves of drones. And you never see any serious progression. So I don't expect this will be different here. I don't think that the drone attacks, they have annoying power. Annoyance power, the drones attack. Of course, they can impose higher cost for Russia in terms of reparation, in terms of repairing everything that gets destroyed. But they don't have winning power, not at the scale at which they are performed right now. Speaker's Corner says, if he was, in effect, a double agent who was playing the United States and taking billions of their dollars only for him to fuck them, the U.S. has the motive to kill him too. Oh yeah, I mean, Prigozhin, at this point, there's not a single human being on Earth who didn't have a motive to kill him. So it's one of these instances of a hot-headed, very bizarre guy who knows who were his true allies, we'll never know. But yeah, I mean, I remember the speculation back in those days that Prigozhin could have done all of this at the request of the U.S. Maybe he got bought by U.S. money only to create an impression of trouble for Putin. CGI is about to get easy. This is Simulon, a new iOS app that is still in invite-only mode. The video below was made with a live in-camera preview and auto-exposure matching, no camera solve, no HDRI capture, and no manual compositing setup. So basically, they've brought CGI to the point where you can just film yourself and CGI will automatically replace you by a robot. Okay, kind of AI, CGI. I think all it's going to lead to is there's going to be a lot of cringe CGI out there. A lot of low-quality movies will emerge that shouldn't have seen the day, but that people will be able to produce. Now, it's all good. You know, if you lower the barrier of entry, perhaps we're going to get some genius movie that wouldn't have made it through Hollywood and through funding rounds. And perhaps we're going to get something good out of it. But I think we're also going to get a lot of bad. We're going to get... For each good movie that we will discover with easy CGI, you're going to have to endure a million bad, a million very, very bad CGI movies where all they're going to have is, oh yeah, I can make a robot. And oh yeah, we're going to replace ourselves with robots. According to AP, the only road out of Lahaina was barricaded. Only those who disobeyed survived. They're talking about the fires in Maui. And this is another example of the principle that if you listen to the authorities, you may not be listening to signals that are in your interest. They say that a car after car was turned back toward the rapidly spreading wildfire by a barricade blocking access to Highway 30. One family swerved around the barricade and was safe in a nearby town. 48 minutes later, another drove their four-wheel drive car down a dirt road to escape. One man took a dirt road uphill, climbing above the fire and watching as Lahaina burned. He later picked his way through the flames, smoke, and rubble to pull survivors to safety. So basically, those who survived were those who saw the barricade and said, fuck this barricade, I'm driving around it. I mean, when you trust a governmental signal, you're trusting a signal that is fundamentally against your interest. The same way they are signaling to you, you should get the vaccine. You know, they're trying to appeal you. they're trying to appeal to you giving up your individual interest for the common good. And that is fundamentally something you shouldn't do. You shouldn't be abandoning. If you can get better for yourself, you should get it. But government signaling is generally trying to get you away from your self-interest and into some kind of communistic interpretation of limited resources in the case of global warming and limited CO2 possibilities, you know, limited availability of highways in this case, which led people to have to confront the fire, many of them dying. And in the case of vaccines, it's an appeal to a sort of herd immunity type of argument where the resources is not what's limited, but the immune space that they want to bring society in is this herd immunity that they're trying to justify to you is where the risk of dying from the vaccine. John Drake says, all the easier to slip into TRP. Exactly. Once you start with the communistic considerations, it's very easy to be tempted by TRP. Absolutely. All right. Other news that I wanted to review before we get to talk about the upcoming debate. Oh my God, Orrin McIntyre. Let's check in on Western liberal democracy. Here we go. many faces that we can recognize from the Kraken period of the Republican news coverage. You know, here's the, I don't even remember her name, but this is the Kraken lady in a mugshot. And this is the aide of Trump who was publicly speaking for the White House, and Trump, the liar of Trump back in this era. Jenna Michaelis, was that her name? Sidney Powell is her name, yes. Who remembers Sidney Powell from the Kraken fundraisers? Jenna Ellis would be her name, not Michaelis. Okay, Jenna Ellis and Rudy Giuliani. Holy shit, the people who have planned with Trump the whole alternate elector plan, they all have their mugshots now. Speaker's Corner says, JF Trump doing Tucker is so that Trump can say, look, 200 million people watched my interview and only 2 million watched the debate. I am huge. Yes, it's definitely the plan. It's definitely what you're going to hear. Yes, and so let's talk about it. Tucker has announced that he's going head-to-head with the Republican debate on Fox News, announcing that 5 minutes before the Fox News debate starts, he will be himself publishing on Twitter his interview with Donald Trump. Let's hear what he has to say.
On Sunday, Donald Trump announced that he will not participate in tonight's Republican candidates debate, hosted by Fox News in Milwaukee. Whatever you think of Trump, he is, as of tonight, the indisputable far and away frontrunner in the Republican race. We think voters have an interest in hearing what he thinks. So when Trump approached us about having a conversation for a far larger audience than he'd receive on cable news, we happily accepted. That interview will air tonight in this space at 8:55. We hope you'll watch.
Oh, man, I have to adjust my clips. Look at this. Tucker is already on the new X logo when my clips are still on the old Twitter logo. Tucker is a model that I have to aspire to. I'll be working on changing my ending to X, but I didn't get a chance. So Tucker is trying to have the birth of the new media totally crush the dreams of cable TV. And I think, yeah, Lendal Guntram says X is going to explode. I think it will. I think it will be quite fascinating, the contrast between what is discussed on TV. And one thing, I this is why I love Tucker, because he's an artist with the words. He said Fox News would post. He said Fox News will be posting a debate tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern time. I love it. This is Tucker genius at play. He's calling it post, and it makes the cable TV media look like they're just a bad version of the internet, because you're posting things on cable TV now. Rather than saying that people are trying to imitate the broadcasting that's happening on TV, now it's the mainstream media is trying to do like the Twitterettes. They're trying to post a debate. That was amazing to me as a phrasing. So let's get started on checking who will be. So tonight you're going to have two choices if you want to follow this live, or you're going to have to select one and then do the other. Either you will be looking on cable TV at 8 different debaters: Nikki Haley, Mike Pence, who else? Doug Burgum, Ron DeSantis, Vivek Ramaswamy, Chris Christie, Tim Scott, and Asa Hutchinson. It's going to be an extremely diverse debate for a Republican thing. We have some people here, like Vivek Ramaswamy is this young guy perhaps with a little more libertarian leanings than the rest. Then we have in Asa Hutchison and Nikki Haley. Those are the two classical Republican Guard kind of warmongering George Bush type of Republicans. Of course, Nikki Haley gives an image of younger and woman, but she's indistinguishable from the war hawks a la George Bush. So I would totally place her in that bunch. So what I expect from these two is they're going to try to bring the debate on this ground of Ukraine, of perhaps more warmongering arguments. And perhaps they will try to attack all of the others on their insufficiency in terms of siding with Ukraine, in terms of having it, they will make themselves look like they are the only choices for a credible geopolitics outlook, a credible George Bush style of imperialistic America output into the world. That will be what these two are trying to do together. Nikki Haley will probably go more aggressive on this, and she will probably outshine Asa Hutchison. Then we have Mike Pence. Well, Mike Pence, of course, his only job, and it's all he does, is to try to stand on his history of accomplishment as being the pale vice president that took care of Trump, that basically was Trump's handler, if you will, from a right-wing conservative religious perspective. He was Trump's handler, and he was trying to do what he can to incarnate this religious view of the Republican Party when a very different guy had taken control of the Republican Party. But I don't think he's going to shine particularly because he's kind of tame and uninteresting to listen to. But people have speculated that he would bring conservative religious talking points, for example, against abortion, perhaps against drugs, perhaps calling out the more libertarian Vivek Ramaswamy. I expect him to try to do all of this. But I don't expect it to be a particularly shining performance. And so I don't expect to be particularly surprised or impressed. Tim Scott, a black guy who I was reading his stuff. I don't know much about him. Graduated in political science. Later became a, so that's his, is it his older brother? His older brother became a sergeant major in the army. On his side, he has political science education, ran in various districts. He entered the election for lieutenant governor at some point, but switched to run for South Carolina's first congressional district after Republican incumbent Henry Brown announced his retirement. So he's a politician. I've heard him talk about liberty and about kind of incentive, a system of incentive. Very often he will be interesting in an interaction with Democrats because he's going to come as a black guy and he's going to know basically, he seems to have an understanding that you can't have the black population in America rise without a system of incentives that actually rewards success rather than failure, like not a welfare system, not a system of free giveaways. So he has this kind of classical economic take on the Republican side. No free giveaways, hard work and hardworking Americans, that kind of speech. And he is the only one in the debate tonight with a black card to play. But I think it might be the right and the wisest choice for him not to play this card at all. It's not something that comes out very strong on the Republican side, and it's kind of annoying and it's kind of moralistic. So I would recommend that he doesn't play it at all, not even in a subtle way. If he could do a debate performance without mentioning the black community ever, I think that might be his best shot. But John Drake says he won't. I'm afraid that John Drake may be right. I mean, we're talking about a cable TV audience, so there's lots of normies in the audience who you could win their heart by just being black, I guess. You know, these middle-of-the-ground centrists and maybe some leftists will be listening to it. But anyways, I don't expect much surprises from him. I don't think he qualifies to win this race. Then we have Doug Burgum. This is a businessman who's been an executive in various industries, including in relation to Microsoft, but not a super innovator, not a root founder of Microsoft. But he's always been in management positions at technical executive companies, corporations. So he comes from that world. He's made a lot of money, and he's been giving back in philanthropy. I believe he was the governor of North Dakota. Governor of North Dakota in 2020. And then in 2016, he had announced his intent to run for governor of North Dakota. Burgum faced Democrat Marvin Nelson and Libertarian Marty Risk in the November general election and won with over 75% of the vote. So he's been governing over a Republican state. I've seen some TV appearances from him. I don't know him in detail, but we'll see what he can pull from this debate. I predict that he will probably try to bring his experience in the business sector, but it's going to be a weak sauce. It's just not enough. You know, here you have Mike Pence, who has experience being a vice president. I think that if this comes to be a battle of experience, it's not because you've been a private executive in some companies that the American people will trust you. So I don't expect him to shine much, and he's not been very popular in the surveys. And Chris Christie. Chris Christie is going to come with a large presence on stage. Who knows what this guy will do? I mean, I've not been following him. I know that he has a history, and that lately he's been very much critical of Trump. He's trying to move the Republican Party away from Trump. But this will be hard to do if no one of these eight people can shine tonight. Like, look at these eight people. There may still be more enthusiasm summed up for Trump alone than there is for these eight people taken together. So the problem is, if the debate of tonight turns out to be the shit show I expect, you won't take the Republican Party on the next step, because no one is showing up that would be equally interesting for the Republican Party. So if there's not a clear winner that comes out tonight, I'm suspecting that the whole attempt of Chris Christie to be moving away from Trump will not realize itself. And then we have Ron DeSantis, known as the front runner, you know, as a second position after Trump. It's going to be interesting to see what this guy can pull among these eight people. Will he come out strong against Nikki Haley? Because I am suspecting more and more, as I shared before, that Ron DeSantis is basically siding with the warmongers. So it would be very much in line with Nikki Haley and Asa Hutchinson. But Ron DeSantis also has an interest to basically deceive the public about this. So perhaps he will come out strong, against Nikki Haley just to make it look, in the same way Kamala Harris came out strong against Joe Biden in the debate. Ultimately, she ended up being his vice president. So it's sometimes there are people who make it look in the debate that they are super opposite to each other, but in reality, they're playing the same game and they're eventually teaming up later. And we saw this with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. I suspect that the Joe Biden and Kamala Harris confrontation about public bus schooling, busing, the practice of busing and black people, I suspect that a similar event will be happening tonight, where two people who fundamentally agree with the Ukraine perspective, which is Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley, will go strong at each other, but only in looks, only the way Kamala Harris did, you know. As a young girl, I was very shocked by your policy. And it's going to be all in display. And it's going to be, yes, a WWE script, says Fleur de Sel. That is extremely well said. It's going to be a kayfabe performance where Ron DeSantis will make it look to the anti-war audience that perhaps he's the guy to go after the warmongers, but really he's in bed with them. Ron DeSantis is the one who has the most to lose in this entire debate, because he's been doing a terrible campaign up to now. So he has a lot of work on the plate tonight, because he's been starting strong second, but at this point he has reached equality with Ramaswamy, whose youth allowed him to fully recruit the media effort, and he's been present on a lot of modern media, a lot of social media. We hear from these eight guys, Ramaswamy is the one I hear the most about. He's the one who's made the best campaign in terms of gathering more exposure. Whereas Ron DeSantis is the one who's made one of the worst campaigns up to now, because he's been sitting on his second position, and every action he's taken made him look bad and worse, and the people he surrounded himself with on the internet, I'm thinking about this Pusha lady, this Ukrainian, this pro-Ukrainian Georgian, anti-Russian, made a lot of people worried. So Ron DeSantis has been going down and down. Ramaswamy has been going up and up, creating lots of social media engagement. I see it on Twitter, on X. Ramaswamy is the one that makes most people talk. Now, Ramaswamy, what can he do tonight? The problem with Ramaswamy is that he is incarnating a branch of the Republican Party that has never really foundationally established itself into the Republican Party, which is a modern libertarian angle to the Republican Party. One of the things that he was criticized on in the media today was that he has a position that there should be a ramp up, for example, from hard drugs. In other words, rather than just outlaw heroin or outlaw all of these things, we would allow certain drugs to be consumed in certain controlled environments so that people can de-escalate their addiction. So that is the kind of position that a libertarian would take, claiming that, all right, drugs are a victimless crime. That's a typical libertarian position. And therefore, why would the government stop you from having all of the tools necessary to undo your addiction? This could be the kind of talking points that more conservative, more traditional Republicans will go after. And so I expect, with his face, you know, his young face, being an Indian also, I expect that a lot of attention will build around Ramaswamy. And I think that he's going to be very quick on the trigger in terms of responding to people. He's going to be very dynamic, and there's going to be a lot of these candidates who are trying to go at him rather than go at DeSantis. Because DeSantis, there's really not much to win against him. Whereas they will be able to create a big contrast with Ramaswamy. They will be able to say, see, this guy doesn't take much problem with porns or hard drugs or crack or whatever. And see, I'm different. So Ramaswamy, I suspect, with this kind of difference that he has from the eight people here, will be an attractor of a lot of attention, and it will all turn in his favor. Because I think that the audiences that will look at this will be opened to a fresher look onto the Republican Party. Now, I don't think that Ramaswamy can win the Republican Party nomination. I like to hear from him. I like his talking on the public space. But I think that, you know, with a young face like this, being an Indian, I don't think that the Republican Party is ready for this. I don't think they're ready to just elect an Indian. But I think he's going to do a good performance, a very good performance tonight. And I think he's going to attract a lot of hope in the long term. So those are my thoughts for these eight debaters. As for Trump, I think Trump is kind of stuck in a circular endemic problem of self-recycling. I think whenever I hear Trump, I hear a lot of recycled talking points. I'm not surprised anymore by Trump. I'm hearing a Trump that is talking a lot in the past. And a lot with kind of hate and worries, and it's very anxious, you know, listening to Trump for a long time. He talks about the attacks against him. And we're not really into a project for America. So I don't think that the interview will be spectacular in terms of its intellectual content, but I think it will attract the most viewers. I think definitely tonight will be remembered as the final win of Twitter against everything else, against Fox News, the whole cable TV dinosaur system. I think that Trump is getting very tired, and people are getting very tired of Trump. Now, they still support him. So despite him having been stuck in a very self-recycling position, it remains the case that he is dominant in the surveys, and he is still, therefore, the one candidate who is most likely to win the Republican nomination. So I'm going to look at all of this with great interest, and I encourage all of you to do so also. All right, we're headed toward the end of the show. Shrig Mamel has sent a super chat. Thank you so much. He says, JF Burgum loves sending refugees into North Dakota for supposed economic reasons. Into North Dakota, and now the state has one of the highest refugees per capita in the United States. Oh, I didn't know it was under his tenure. That's interesting to know. I've seen these Republican states just bizarrely like subscribing to these optional refugee programs, and I've always been extremely alarmed at this. Yeah, I think that one of the big losers of tonight, of whatever will happen tonight, is the question of immigration and demographics. It's not going to get any attention tonight. These eight people, there is not even one of them that could be somehow could have a slightly biased angle. Not a single one of them. So you're going to see a complete silence on this question on the Fox News side. And on the Tucker interview with Trump, we're going to get just the same Trump again, who, yes, will say a word or two about immigration and we have to stop illegal migrants. But you're not going to get any depth on demographics question outside of the illegal immigrant stuff that Trump always says. So it's a it's going to be a big rewind in a way, what's happening tonight. There's going to be exciting things in terms of who wins, in terms of how these candidates can perform from a debate technical perspective. It's going to be interesting. But I think that we're actually walking back on some of the progresses that the alt-right had done in 2016. We're going to walk back on a lot of this, and we're going to become a little more normie tonight. That sucks in a way, because it sucks that an advance that was achieved clearly and, you know, stamped into the ground like this in 2016 just has slowly disappeared, and tonight will slowly trickle into just fights, inner fights between different right-wing conceptions, but none of them having anything to say about the important question of demographics. Chuck Garrity says, will be a normie fest, but still interesting as to who wins. Exactly. That's what I expect. AI has sent a super chat on Entropy. Thank you so much. He says, hey, Jeff, should we buy Bitcoin now around 25K or wait to see if it dips more before the push? Definitely now becomes a very interesting opportunity at 25K. Personally, if I had funds, I wouldn't let it drop any further, because I cannot guarantee that it will drop any further. Around 25K. Around the current price is all I can guarantee. I cannot guarantee that there will be any further drop. Now, there may be further drops, but at some point you have to stop running for the, oh, there's going to be a drop. Because if you're in that mood, the system is already driving the price away from you. If you're in that mood, there's probably 100,000 different investors in that mood, and they were already in that mood 1 week ago. And so use the windows to buy. When you see a good price that would be satisfying, my recommendation is buy and forget about it. Don't follow and say, oh, I could have had it cheaper. I could have had it $1,000 cheaper. No, you just have to buy, and then you leave beside. You'll never find the bottom. Never. Human beings will never find the bottom, never find the true peak. Just buy Bitcoin is all I have to say. That is almost it for tonight. Subway is nearing a sale for $9.6 billion. They have been in talks. They have 37,000 restaurants. Subway about to be sold to an investment firm. The investment firm would have offered $9.6 billion, but those are rumors and speculation about this. Letitia James threatens schools that ban classroom materials on the pretext of obscenity and lewdness. So the Attorney General in New York is saying, we're going to show anal sex to your children. And if the books get banned by your local school for having anal sex in them, we're going to find the school guilty. Guilty of discrimination. So basically, your children in New York will be exposed to anal sex. That is well, and that will be by law. And finally, a very good news. I'm always happy when NVIDIA is doing good. NVIDIA erupts to new record high on blowout Q2 earnings, whisper shattering Q3 guidance, and new $25 billion buyback. Listen, they're making processors that everyone needs to play game and everyone needs for scientific purposes. Everyone needs for graphic generation in an AI world. And now everyone needs for AI complex calculations and demanding computation. So they are on the road to success. And they've been doing good products. I'm super satisfied by NVIDIA and what they have contributed to for our modern PCs. That is it for tonight, boys. Thank you so much for being here. And should I should I check what's on the calendar? Yesterday, I was on a break due to construction at my house. Ended up being terrible. We found a bee nest. And the workers couldn't work until I resolved the bee nest. And so it was a headache, but things ended up going well. We're making progress. But it was a bee nest that was set up in my basement, and I didn't know about it. And it's like try to remove bees from a basement. I need a professional for this. Thankfully, you know, it's not a basement that is accessible to our living spaces, so it's like outside. So it's not like I'm getting attacked by bees or anything, but for the workers to have access to that part of the house, we needed to do some intervention. That is it for tonight. We have nothing on schedule, so we'll just see how the news develop. Bye-bye. Thank you.